Good to see everyone here this evening. We'll look at the book of 1 Peter tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We begin reading in verse 4. It says, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. And he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy.'" And Jesus Christ, and when we look at him as the Bible describes him, is at the same time the great prophet. He is our high priest, and he is our king. Now, some of the prophets of the Old Testament were also priests. For example, Ezekiel and Ezra were both prophets of God who wrote books in the Old Testament, but they were also priests of God. Some of the kings prophesied. We know, for example, in Acts chapter 2, Peter says that King David was also a prophet of God. And he was, because he wrote so much of like, for example, the Psalms in the Old Testament. Jesus and Melchizedek, according to Hebrews chapters 5 and 7, were the only ones at the same time that were priest and prophet and king. They're all three of those things into one. But there are duties of each one of those. And the first one, of course, the king, obviously, was to be the ruler over the people. Jesus Christ is our king in Revelation 19:16, it says he is King of kings and Lord of lords. In other words, even the kings or lords of the earth are under him. He is a prophet. And a prophet is one who speaks by the authority of another. In this particular case, one who speaks for God by divine inspiration. You go back to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, and beginning at verse 22, he says, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatsoever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold of these days.'" Peter says all of those prophets of the Old Testament look forward to the coming of Christ and the greatest prophet of all. Also, there is the office and the work of a priest. The work of a priest under the Old Covenant was to offer sacrifices for others to God on the altar, and also to be the mediator between them and God. That was their responsibility. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible tells us there is one God and one mediator between God and man, himself, the man Christ Jesus. So there is no longer a separate priesthood that we have to go through to come to God. It's only through Christ. And one time I went to a hospital to visit somebody, a sick person. I went up to the desk there to check in, and the lady behind the counter said, "Are you a priest?" And I had to think about that for a minute. And I answered no. Well, actually, I gave the wrong answer. Yes, I was. But I was not a priest according to what she meant there. She was looking for a priest that was in a black robe and had a special kind of collar on and some other things to show what he was. Well, I was not that kind of priest, but I am a priest of God. And so is everyone here who is in Christ. According to the Bible, all Christians are the priests of God. And that's why 1 Peter chapter 2 is telling you and me. It is no longer a physical priesthood in the sense that we'd have to build an altar and kill a bull or a goat or something and place it on the altar and burn it as a sacrifice to God. Where our sacrifice to God is our life every day to serve Him. But we want to look this evening a little bit at the priesthood first under the old law and how it applies to us. Under the old law, the law of Moses in particular, there was the high priest. Well, the first high priest was Aaron. He was chosen that to be that. And you go back and read the books of Exodus and Leviticus, there's a great deal about the high priest and his responsibilities and what he was to do and the example he was to set. It started with Aaron, and it was hereditary. It was the descendants of Aaron would be the high priest and the high priest's family. And the high priest had to be one that was without physical defect. In other words, he couldn't be blind in one eye or have some other physical defect. And it was passed down, the high priesthood was, from the eldest son to the next eldest son and on down. There were a couple of exceptions. And later on, it was perverted, the high priesthood was. In fact, by the time of Christ, the high priesthood became more or less a political office held together by the Sanhedrin Council, and they could appoint who was going to be the high priest. That's how far they had gotten away from the law of Moses when Jesus came. But the high priest had to supervise the activities of the other priests. He officiated at all of the special religious services for the Passover and all the other religious festivals and sacrifices and everything. And then once a year, on the Day of Atonement, he would make the sacrifice of the lamb and take it in, sprinkle the blood in the most holy place of the temple around the Ark of the Covenant and on the mercy seat there. And that was a representation of the blood to forgive the sin of the people for another year. And that was his responsibility. But as I said, there are many priests. In 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 4, it says, "And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the threshold to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for Asherah." So this is the time when evil had come upon the people and they had actually put idols in the temple of God. And the king got the high priest at the time, Hilkiah, and the other priests under him to cleanse the temple of the idolatry and get it set back right with God. There are many high priests and, of course, many a lot more regular priests, as we might say. And the priests that were of the tribe of Levi, when they were not actually working as a priest at the temple or something, their responsibility was to teach the law, to set an example. And there are several things the Bible talks about that they were to do. And the priests were from the tribe of Levi. They are not all descendants of Aaron. Only the high priest were the descendants of Aaron. There are many laws governing the priests. In Leviticus chapter 21, for example, it says they couldn't shave their heads and be a priest. They could not shave off the edges of their beards. They had to let it grow completely. And, of course, they were not to make cuts in their flesh. And you might wonder why that was, because that was often done by the pagan priests of idols. All these things were done by pagan priests. And 1 Kings chapter 18, when Elijah went up to Mount Carmel and had the contest there with the priests of Baal, after Baal would not answer their prayers, they began to cut themselves and blood flowed out. Well, God said his priests could not do that, because their blood could not atone for sin. There are several restrictions they had on marriage. There's In addition, the high priest could not marry a widow or a divorcee or a harlot. He could not approach a dead person in the work of the high priest. And in doing so, it make him unclean to do that work, nor could he uncover his head or tear his clothes. There's an example of that in Leviticus chapter 10, when Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire at the temple, and it came out and devoured them. They didn't get the fire where God required on the altar of burnt offering. And so the fire came out and destroyed them. And God told Moses, tell Aaron, do not tear your clothes as a sign of sorrow at the loss of your two sons. But he says, continue to perform your duties. And so one of the primary duties of the high priest and other priests were to offer sacrifices to God. There were blood sacrifices. There were bloodless sacrifices. The blood sacrifice, of course, were sheep and oxen and goats and pigeons and turtle doves, depending on the particular thing that was to be done. But there were bloodless sacrifices also. There was a vegetable and grain and olive oil and wine and incense and salt. All of those things were part of the sacrifices. You read through the book of Leviticus, and it talks about how each one of these sacrifices is to be done. In fact, the book of Leviticus is basically the instruction book for the priests and the priesthood. There was no leaven or honey allowed in any burnt offering. Certain offenses or situations required a certain kind of sacrifice. Some sin might be a goat, other might be a young bull, others might be a pigeon or a turtle dove. For example, in Luke chapter 2, when Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple after he was born to offer the sacrifices, they had pigeons and turtle doves that they offered as a sacrifice to the for Jesus to dedicate him to the Lord. Some of the sacrifices were regular, like the new moon, which was each month, the Passover, which is early in the year, the Feast of Pentecost, and some other sacrifices because of ignorance, because of ceremonial defilement. There's all kinds of different ones. And again, you read through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and you see how those things were done. And the place of the sacrifice was on the altar. That was before, in front of the tabernacle, and later the temple when it was built. In Exodus 29, verse 37, he says, 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and the altar shall be most holy, and whatsoever touches the altar shall be holy. So once they had dedicated the tabernacle and dedicated the altar of burnt offering, it had to be holy. And so no one that was not cleansed properly could go near it. The holy and the sanctified meant set apart to the work of God. Now that's why, for example, you read over in Daniel chapter 5 when Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, was in a drunken feast with all of his lords and other around him. And he called for the gold and silver vessels that were taken out of the temple in Jerusalem by his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar. And they began to drink the wine out of that. And they worshiped the idol gods that they worshiped. And that's where he saw the handwriting on the wall. Just the hand. And it was writing on the wall. The Bible says he was terrified. And Daniel had to come and tell him the meaning of it. That his kingdom was going to be taken away from him. And he would die that night because of it. And that's exactly what happened. Now, the duties of the Old Testament priests, other than when they were at the temple itself, like I said, was to teach the people. Sometimes that became a problem. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 3, it says, For a long season, Israel was without the true God, and without the teaching priest, and without the law. Well, how could Israel be without the law? Because the Israelites, and especially the priests, refused to study it and refused to teach it to the people. That's why they were destroyed as a nation. In Micah chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, the heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets divined for money. None of them were supposed to accept being paid for the work that they were doing. Now, the priests received money and other things from the work that they did, but they weren't to charge extra because they offered a sacrifice for someone, or they taught someone, or the prophets could not preach and teach the word of God so that someone would give them money to do it. God took care of them and that part of their life. And then the Old Testament shows how that was done. But the priest's neglect of the teaching of the law had serious consequences and effects upon the people. The priests themselves could be condemned. The people were living lives that the priests did not teach against and did not show them the right way. We go over to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. He says there, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." That's a curse that God placed upon the priests who would not teach his word. And he says there in verse 7, "The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on iniquity. And it shall be like people like priests." In other words, whatever the priests guide them to do, that's what the people are going to do. And that's what they did. And he says, "So I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord." So when the priests did not do their job, not just the sacrifices and those things, but the teaching and advancing and teaching and showing the examples of the law, that's what happened to them. The priests were also to offer sacrifices for the people. Again, the book of Leviticus is filled with detailed regulation about how these things were to be done. At what time, what way it was to be done. The animal couldn't just be skinned and thrown on the thing. It had to be, the skin had to be taken off. It had to be cut into pieces properly and laid exactly as the law said. They were to lay it on the altar of a burnt offering. It must have been a very tedious work every day for all the people all the day long, bringing their sacrifices to the priests there at the temple. And so it was not an easy job to do. A great deal of labor went into slaughtering and dressing and all of the sacrifices every day of the year. I'm really glad that we don't live under that law. That's what we would have to do. But the priests were also to be a source of encouragement to the people of God under the law. He was to lead them in worship, and of course, again, to teach them and guide them. He was to wear, when he went to the temple, when any of the priests went to the temple, they were to wear special clothing while they were performing the duties of the priests. They didn't wear that all the time. There were special robes and things that had to be worn at the temple. The clothing had to be set apart itself for God's service. And only the official priestly garments could be worn while doing their duties at the temple. All these things were done under the law, and it was given by God under the Old Testament. But Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "When Jesus died on the cross, he nailed that law to the cross with him. He took it out of the way." I'll go over to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31, where God gives to Jeremiah the message that there was going to be a new law. Now, it wasn't going to come for another 500 or so years. But Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31, he said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so that was the new covenant when Christ was going to come. Hebrews chapter 8 tells us that that is the law, and it quotes Jeremiah chapter 31 as a law, the new covenant that Christ brought in for us. So we look then now, the new priesthood under the law of Christ. What does that mean to you and me? Well, there was only one high priest then. There's only one high priest now. And that's Christ himself. From the very time he went to the cross, was resurrected from the dead, appeared to his disciples, and then ascended back to his Father. He became king, high priest, all of those things that he is at that time. And Christ says that in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, even Jesus. Now, he wasn't an apostle in the sense of Peter, James, and John and others, but he was an apostle then, and that word means to be sent forth. He was sent forth straight from God to be our apostle and our high priest of our confession. That's why we pray through him, and we receive God's blessings through him, because he is the mediator and our high priest. Hebrews 7, verse 26 says, for such a high priest became us, holy, guileless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's why in Matthew 28, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. So he is the only high priest. Now, there are many priests under the old covenant. There was, because that law was in effect about 1,500 years. But all Christians today are priests of God. Someone said one of the great rediscoveries of the Protestant Reformation back during the time of Martin Luther was the Catholic Church had gone so far away from the Word of God that there was a priesthood and all the rest of the people. Well, the Bible didn't teach that and never did. Martin Luther at least came that far back to understand the priesthood of all the believers. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, as we read there from a minute ago, he says, you also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Well, who is the you? And that passage, well, it means you and me. We are God's people, and we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. We don't have to go out and build an altar and sacrifice a goat or a bull or whatever on the altar. We don't have to do that. We are the sacrificial people. We're the ones that offer the sacrifice. And verse 9, he says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Notice, we are part of the royal family. We are born into the family of God, born again, John chapter 3. And we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. It's royal because it's the king's priesthood, and it's a priesthood also. And he says, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that's our responsibility, to proclaim the praises to God. We are that royal priesthood. There's no special priesthood that's set apart under the new covenant, and here's the priest and here's all the rest of us. That's not the way God did it. And it starts, our priesthood begins when we're buried with him in baptism and come up out of the water. What is the law governing the priests who serve under Christ? Well, in 2 John verse 9, he says we are not to go beyond or transgress the teaching of Christ. Because if we do, we bring condemnation upon ourselves. We are not to add to or take from the teaching and the will of God. Revelation 22, 18 and 19, the last warning given in the Bible is do not either add to or take away from this book that has been written and been given to you. The responsibility of the priests of God is to teach and serve and set an example and preach the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ as it is revealed in the Word of God. Go back to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, of course, the Apostle Paul being the writer there. Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, is, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who would trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. There's people doing that right now, turning away from the true gospel, perverting it, trying to change it. And he says, but verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And we have said before, so I now say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. So we cannot preach and teach any other gospel except that which he has revealed to us in his word. As priests, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul says, there I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Every day we live is a sacrifice of ourself, our will for his will, our service for his service, to do his will in this life. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, he says, but to do good and to communicate, do not forget. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And there is a priestly garment that we are to wear. Like I said before, it's not a long black robe with a strange looking collar, but it is the priestly robes which God says to us in Revelation chapter 3. In the letter of the church of Laodicea, they were lukewarm and it made God sick. He says, I would vomit you up, is basically what he said. But in Revelation 3 and verse 18, he says, those people, he says, I counsel you to buy of me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich in white garments, that you may clothe yourself, that the shame of your nakedness be not made manifest. I just told them, that they were looked at themselves and they said, well, we're rich and we have riches and we have need of nothing. And God said to them, or Christ said to them, but you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He says, that's why I counsel you to buy the true things, the spiritual things. And then in a figurative way, the faith and the righteous acts which we do. And when we do that, God remembers those and will reward them for our service to him. Again, there's no separate priesthood any longer as there once was. Some in the religious world, of course, want to claim that distinction and claim superiority over everyone else because of that position. But Christ is our only high priest. He gives us authority to teach, to set an example, to live according to his will. There's no other way to be acceptable to God. So the question is, are we priests of God? What are we doing about it? We have to change our lives to fit his will. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what we need to do. This evening, if you have a need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as we stand and as we sing.